Good morning and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. We're so glad you're here today. Let's stand together as we get started with hymn number 246, Higher Ground.
To the Lord in prayer today. Just wanted to let y'all know about an important prayer request. June Escobar's niece, Chantel, is undergoing a brain surgery tomorrow. She's 14 years old, and we want to be sure and remember her this week as she undergoes this surgery. Dear God, we do thank you for today. Lord, you're so good to us, and Father, we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us here. And Father, we pray today that you would please just meet with us in a special way. Lord, we pray today that you would encourage us, Lord, that you would challenge us to live for you. Father, we pray if there's somebody here today who's not saved, that today would be the day that they trust Christ as their Savior. And Father, we do want to remember Chantel today, Lord, as she undergoes a surgery tomorrow. Lord, we pray that you would heal her, Lord, and Father, that you would give the doctors wisdom as they operate, and Father, that you would just get the glory out of this operation, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would heal her, and Lord, that you would work in our lives today, for we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
Thank you.
I'm glad it's finished. In other words, salvation is complete, and you can have Jesus Christ today. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you're rejoicing in the Lord. By the way, it's wonderful to be living in California on this spring day when you could be buried in snow back east somewhere. And so I thank God for the beautiful day that we can enjoy. I hope you put a smile on your face and a spring in your step and be happy in the Lord today, because this is what we want. This is the Lord's day. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let's stand together and welcome each other to the Lord's house. God bless you. Welcome our first time guest as well. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to go ahead and let you be seated. I'm switching the service up just a little bit today because I think it's important that we switch things up every now and then. It confuses everybody, all right? But anyway, we're glad that you're here today. Now, in just a few weeks, we're going to be having what we call our March 18th building banquet. And we want you to know, many of you know, we're trying to get our parking lot over here done. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about that. I want to show you a few things about that because it's important if we focus on what we want, we're asking God to do. By the way, I believe that God is a God that is able to take care of every need. And we as a church realize that we need this parking lot. We are right now pretty much filled up on our back parking lot, which is a great problem. And off the street, we can park over there as well. And we acquired this property a few years ago. The Lord gave us this property, and and through that and the means, we have kind of set up a master plan. And part of that master plan is that we get the north parking lot done and put out. We want to put lights out. We're going to tell you about that throughout the next several weeks. I want you to begin to pray with me about that. I'm asking you to pray with me that God will show us what He wants us to do. And we have already started on it. As many of you know, you can see we have it kind of. We put fenced off back over there. We have dug out some of the groundwork, and we're going to have to do and all those other things. So, but the need is great, and I know right now is not an easy time for the economy and all those things. But the economy never has bothered God, and so we're going to ask God to help us to do this. And I just want you to just take a moment and think with me about what the need is. And first of all, the need is there needs to be more space. That's just the bottom line. And we have just a little bit of a video. This is last year's video, so the numbers are a little bit off as far as on where we are. We'll tell you more about what those are. But I want you to just take a moment and watch this video, all right? Thank you.
new parking lot for Calvary Baptist Church will enhance the ministry in so many ways. It will make it easy for visitors to find ample convenient parking spaces for services. It will dramatically improve the look of our property from the main street. It will serve as a tremendous testimony to the community that God is doing something in this place. Most of all, a new parking lot means more families hearing the Word of God each week, more souls saved, and lives changed. God has confirmed in the heart of Pastor Stone Street that now is the time to move forward on this project. Now is the time to step out in faith and trust God to provide for the need. We will complete the project in phases based on current cost estimates. Phase 1 will include permitting, grading, underground work, the sub-base layer of the new lot. Phase 2 will consist of curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, along with the lighting and music to make the parking lot inviting and welcoming. In Phase 3, we'll complete the asphalt, signage, and landscaping to finish up the project. The total cost of this project may seem great, but we have a great God. We have seen Him do the miraculous things in the past, and we are confident that He is able to provide once more. Every one of us knows that God's resources are unlimited, but He has always chosen to provide through the giving of His people. He wants to see our faith in action. He wants to see if we really believe that He can provide. As we individually step out in faith and make the financial sacrifice that God lays on our hearts, we can watch with amazement as God supplies not only our personal needs, but also the needs of the ministry. What will you do? Will you trust God and make sacrifices so that others can hear the good news? Will you invest in the future of Calvary Baptist Church? As you give, don't think of gravel and asphalt. Think of the families that each new parking space represents. Our giving is not for a parking lot. Our giving is for souls.
I do want to mention to you that as we work our way through, we're just trying to get you to get a vision with us of what God wants to do here at Calvary Baptist Church. And we do realize, of course, number one, there's a need for more space. Number two, there is a, of course, an area which we want people from West Texas to know that they can, that there is a church here that they can drive on and find our property. So we want that areas to be clearly seen for people. Number three, we want to provide a clear pathway to the front door of the church so that people, when they make their way here, that they can come and they know what this is all about. We want this to glorify Christ and provide a good testimony for Jesus Christ. And then this positions the church in the community in such a way that Calvary Baptist Church is not a church like down the street, but it's a church off of Main Street. We want people to know that. And then also it provides a welcoming atmosphere for the community as people make their way here. And then it unites the church members around a vision. And nothing can be more beneficial to spiritual, godly people than being united around a vision. And that vision, of course, is that as we're reaching into our community, we're telling people that truly God is on the throne and that God cares about them and God wants to save them and God wants them to know Him. And then lastly, it involves the entire church in the ministry. And I think involving people in the ministry is so key today. Our theme this year has been, wrapped around our serving the Savior. And I certainly trust and pray that each of us will consider that we might serve the Savior. I'm sorry about the lighting here. We're trying to adjust the lighting. We're working on some things. We've had some problems in the past here, but in another week or so, this should be right back to where it should be, so I apologize for that. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we'll stand as we read God's Word together. Second Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Heavenly Father, I pray now in the moments that we have that you would help us to see what we're aiming at. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts. I pray that none of us would come here and not be changed. Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you to work in a powerful way and do what only you can do. Speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. A hunter is at his best when he hits his target. A doctor is at his best when his medical procedure extends life to a person. A secretary is at her best or his best when he or she fulfills the duties of the office. A spouse is at his best or her best when she fulfills God's intended roles. An officer is at his best when he offers protection to his community. All of these have one thing in common. That is, they aim at doing something. I want to remind you of this and keep this in mind in the message. Whatever you aim, or wherever you aim, that is where ultimately you will go. Where's your aim today? Lot, the Bible said, pitched his tent towards Sodom. And ultimately, that's where he went. The Bible said that Abraham, he looked for a builder, a city whose builder and maker is God. And ultimately, Abraham was a man of great faith. I want to ask you this, where are you aiming today? Where's your focus today? What are you looking toward today? Where are you, if were to say that you pitched your tent, where have you pitched it? You know, the truth of the matter is, a Christian is at his best when he becomes a holy man or woman of God. Edward Veal said these words, and I put them in your notes there in front of you. Here's what he said. He said, "It's certain that holiness is a condition, though not of justification," meaning that you don't become holy by trying to be saved, by doing something to get saved, "yet of salvation." In other words, holiness comes out of the fact that you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. "Therefore, faith provokes and stirs up the man to the exercise of holiness as being the way in which he must, if ever, attain to happiness." In other words, his target is toward being holy. If we want to be holy and want to be what God would have us to be and be all that God would have us to be, then God says that my target and my aim must be high. I must aim high. This passage is focused around my aim. I want you to notice something in the passage, because the passage centers around what I do and who I am. You see, the truth of the matter is, all of us, if we understand this passage out, that God says the entire passage in chapter 4 focuses around verse number 1. Let me get you to go back to verse number 1. Verse number 1 tells me that. It explains that to me. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." What Paul says then is, Paul says, if I'm going to hit my aim high, I must know what I'm aiming for. And in this passage, he mentions that the aim is for ministry. Now, what that means is that the word ministry means to serve. It has the idea that I'm a servant, that I'm willing to serve, that I want to serve Christ, that I want to honor Christ with my life, that my aim is not about being comfortable or by advancing myself or by somehow or another that somebody might pat me on the back and say how great a person I am. But the fact is, if I aim high, I'm going to want to glorify and honor Christ with my life. That's what it's about. And Paul said that's what we need to understand, that if we are going to do what God would have us to do, then we are to keep our aim toward heaven. What do we want Calvary Baptist Church to be? What do we want our lives to be? What is it that we want to do for God? What is it that God would have us to do? Here, God says we must focus our attention on eternity. God wants our attention to be there. God wants our attention to be high. God wants us to lift up our eyes and put our focus on eternal things. One man said it this way, "Our feet may be on earth, but our heart is in heaven." Now, how do we do that? How is it that we are to do what Paul challenges us to do in these three verses? How can I focus on eternity? How can I aim high? How is it that I'm to keep my aim right? Because I want to tell you something. Whatever your aim at, whatever direction you're going, you're ultimately going to get there. And God says that He wants us, and He described for us three clear, simple descriptions, or if you would, these three requirements that God says is going to matter. Number one, you can write these down. We must acquire daily renewal. We must acquire daily renewal, verse 16. Notice what he says. Let me get you to go back and look at it with me, please. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Notice what Paul says. I need a daily renewal, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed, notice, day by day. So what does God mean then? God says, if I'm going to keep my focus on eternal things, it's going to take a daily renewal to do just that. That's why I have to, in the mornings, have to get up and open my Bible and spend time with God in the Word of God. I have to open it up. I have to understand, what is it that God wants of me? What is it that God wants to do in my life? So I have to open up the Bible. And every morning when I open it up, it helps me to take my focus from the earth and all the things that are going on around me and put my heart and my aim on eternal things. And the Bible says that I must renew that. It's a daily renewal. Did you notice that? So if we're talking about renewal, let's think for a moment here. What does he mean by daily renewal? Well, there's a purpose for the daily renewal. It's a purpose. There's a purpose intended. Now, all of you in here, almost every one of you in here, you have a cell phone. In fact, I hear them every now and then while I'm preaching. Amen. By the way, you can turn your cell phone to vibrate or off because God's not going to be calling you during this service, okay? Well, at least not through your cell phone anyway. I hope the other way. But if you think about it, this cell phone that we have, I learned a long time ago that with this cell phone, when I have to plug it in and charge it every day. Now, if you're real fortunate, you might be able to go 2 days on one charge. I guess it depends on how much you use it. But I want to tell you something. You're going to have to charge your cell phone every day. And when you get a fresh charge, you're good to go. Now, in a sense, and I don't mean to be irreverent or disrespectful, but in a sense, that's how our spiritual lives are. You cannot go without a spiritual charge. You cannot go without plugging in to eternity every day. You can't keep your aim high without that. And in fact, that's what the whole purpose of this renewal is all about. If you notice, Paul's very clear. Notice what he says. He says, for which cause? Notice what he's talking about. For which cause? What's he mean? We'll look at that in a moment. But the Bible says, for which cause? The cause is the ministry. The cause is the serving of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is describing in all of chapter 4 about the sufferings he's going through, the difficulties that he's facing, the hardships. And it'd be easy to get discouraged, but Paul says, we faint not. And the word faint has the idea of losing hope, has the idea of, if you would, losing a motivation to accomplish something. You see, if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to have the motivation to be in church. You're not going to have the motivation to want to do something for God. You're not going to have the motivation to want to give anything to God. You're not going to have the motivation to do anything for God because you're fainting. But see, those who plug in to eternity every day, those who have said, you know, it doesn't matter if it's Super Bowl Sunday or not, I'm going to church. It doesn't matter what's, you know, who's playing what or what's happening in my life. I'm getting plugged in because I know that I need eternity every day. The outward man is exposed to the elements of the world, and I want to tell you, the world is a wicked world. It hates Christians. But God says that I, as an individual, though my outward man may be decaying, though maybe the pressures of life are attacking me inwardly, I can be a strong individual because I'm being renewed every day. Warren Wiersbe said these words, "Until a person is prepared to die, he is not really prepared to live." You see, until you're prepared to die, you're not prepared to live. The idea then is that my heart can be right with God, although my body may be racked with problems and difficulties and maybe even physical pain and suffering, as Paul describes in this passage. But he says, but my heart is still aiming toward heavenly things. Thank God for that. And that's what God says we need for us today. You see, the daily renewal will strengthen and sustain us through this terrible economy, through the difficulties that I face. In fact, this renewal, what it does is it builds me up. Without it, I'll be vulnerable. I'll be weak. I'll be defeated. I'll not make it. I'll never be able to get through the things that come in life. So the purpose then is to build me up. I mean, when we come to church, you know, I want you to get in touch with eternity for a time, but that's no replacement for the day by day. Did you notice? It's a day by day activity. In other words, you have to do it every day. I mean, every day, every morning, I have to get up and spend time with God. That's more important than exercise. That's more important than eating. That's more important than anything else. I want to set the clock, get up. I want to spend time with God because I know that I need that because I don't know what the day is going to bring me. Are you understanding what I mean? There's a purpose in daily renewal. Without the daily renewal, you'll become weak. You'll falter. You'll faint. You'll start thinking like the world thinks. Because I want to tell you something, whatever you're not putting in your life, the world is putting into your life. There's always this constant, you know, we're hearing all these things, they're coming into our life. It's through the media and through friends and through the books that we read, and all these things are just bombarding us. But God says, oh, you listen, if you want to have a spiritual, godly life, if you want to be holy, if you want to keep your focus right, make sure, and you want to aim high, and the way to aim high is to put your attention on eternal things. That's why you need the daily renewal. All of us need daily renewal. Every one of us. It's not just what I get on Sunday morning. You know, a lot of people think, you know, okay, I go to church, I got Sunday morning. Man, I'm kind of filled up for the week. Oh, no, you're not filled up. Quite frankly, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but this is like digested food. You need to ingest your own food. You need to get along with God every day. And the Bible said that we have to acquire, if we're going to keep our eyes on eternal things, if our lives are going to be fulfilled, if our lives are going to be about God and honoring Him, that means there's a daily renewal. And that's the purpose of the daily renewal. Write this one down, the person of the renewal. Who am I going to renew with then? Do I come and get plugged into someone that maybe can encourage me? No, not at all. Do I get kind of plugged in by going to pastor each week and maybe calling him or getting to plug into him? Nope, not me. Who do we get plugged in then with? Well, the truth of the matter is all of us realize that we cannot lose our salvation. But if we're not careful, our spiritual motivation to serve God will lack if we do not get plugged in to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Physically, man grows weaker, but spiritually, man can grow stronger through the work of the Holy Spirit. I need to spend time communing with the Savior. That's where I go. I go to Him. I don't go to some book. I don't go to some church Bible study. I don't read some philosophy. I need to get plugged in with the God of heaven. Amen. Several years ago when I was saved at 14 years old, I remember it was October 22nd, 1972, many years ago. Remember when I got plugged in, I got saved, and one of the men came to me and said this. He says, now that you're a Christian, you need to read your Bible every day. I said, every day? He said, every day. I said, where do I start? And he says, well, start with Matthew. So I started with Matthew. When I got to the begats, I quit. If you know anything about Matthew chapter 1, half the chapter is the begats. It has the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and I quit. I went back to him the next week, and I said, I started reading Matthew chapter 1. I couldn't even pronounce the names. And he thought, man, this is going to be difficult. So then he handed me something called Our Daily Bread. Any of you ever had Our Daily Bread? That's how I got started. I read Our Daily Bread. I liked it because it picked a few verses, told me about those verses, and I read it. And at the end, you know, it had a little bit of quote or a thought for the day, and that's what I did. And I wrote the thought down, and I carried it around. I remember I had a little notebook, and I had a thought for this day and a thought for that day. And I just thought on those things, and that's what I did. The problem with Our Daily Bread is it wasn't enough. You know what it was? It was like a spiritual snack. And you know, when you first get saved, a spiritual snack may kind of help you, but it doesn't sustain you. And I remember I kind of read it and I thought, you know, this is good. So then I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm really going to get brave. I'm going to venture out and I'm going to go from reading Our Daily Bread to reading Our Daily Bread and Matthew chapter 1. And even though I can't pronounce the names, I'm going to do that. And so I went from Our Daily Bread, Matthew chapter 1, Our Daily Bread, Matthew chapter 2, Our Daily Bread, Matthew chapter 3. And boy, when I got to chapter 5 and those big long chapters, I thought, man, I don't know if this is going to work or not. But I did it. And then my soul began to be fed. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm praying and reading about our Savior. The Lord is teaching me about who He is. And I really believe that today the reason why I'm standing before you and preaching the Word of God is not because of some pastor who pat me on the back and did this and did that. Not because my mama tried to encourage me all along the way. I really believe the reason why I'm where I am is because of that time I spent with God every day. And the reason why many of you are still here is the same reason. And I know that. You see, if you're not careful, you know what you're going to do? If you don't read your Bible, you're going to faint. You're going to faint. And what I mean by fainting is not that you're going to lose your salvation. By the way, your salvation is kept secure by Jesus Christ. But what it means is this: you're going to lose your motivation to want to serve Christ. You lose heart. You'll lose kind of that fervency. And Paul says, if we're going to aim high, we must acquire daily renewal. We have to have it. That daily renewal builds my life and strengthens me and spends time with me. In case you're kind of wondering what I'm talking about here, is I'm saying spend time, set aside a block of time that you honor Christ and spend time with Him every day. Amen and amen. So the first requirement, if I'm going to aim high, is I require, number one, a daily renewal. Number two, write this one down if you would please and write them into your notes. If I'm going to be holy and I want to honor God with my life and I want that which is going to matter, I realize that I must not be conformed to this world, as Romans 12:2 says. It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then the other verse there that I gave you in Colossians 3:10, which says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. But number two, we must aim for the invisible. We must aim for the invisible. Now, the invisible, the Bible makes it very clear that there are some things that we must learn about it. If you notice in verse 17 again, notice what he says. I want you to see this because this is a very interesting verse. If you miss anything else today, don't miss this one. Here's what he says. Notice what he says. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here's what he's saying. I when I looked at this verse, I'm not sure if I really totally understood this, because I don't know about you, but you know, I kind of look like, okay, let's say this card is our light affliction. Would you agree with me? A card's probably pretty light, right? I mean, I'm not making a lot of effort to lift this card up. So God says, then affliction is light. That's what God says. But then God says, okay, this book is going to be glory. All of us know what glory is going to be like, right? One day we get to heaven, it's going to be a glorious time to walk into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's going to be a wonderful thing. And God says that affliction is light and glory is weighty. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I would read it the other way around. Because here's what I would say. I would say when you're going through affliction and you're going through trials and you're going through difficulties, I would say that that's heavy. That's what I would do. Because I don't know about you, but I don't normally pray, dear God, give me more trials. They're just so light. I don't normally think like that. Normally I don't say, God, pile it on. I can handle it. I got a lot more. Man, I'm a strong. I can. No, I don't normally say that. But God calls it light. But then we talk about glory, and he says the weight of glory. So when I look at that, I'm thinking, wait a minute, the weight of glory. If God is saying that in his mind that trials are light and that glory is heavy, then there must be some significant message he wants me to get out of this. There must be something God wants me to understand. So what is he saying then? Why is he saying? What is he trying to get us to get to really grab a hold of in this verse about the invisible? Well, we must realize, number one, that suffering is brief. Realize the brevity of suffering. It's not going to last forever. It's not like I'm going to be suffering forever and ever. Those who do not know Christ, the Bible says, will. But those of us who know Christ, we're going to suffer for a short time. Isn't it good to know that we have our sins forgiven? By the way, every person in this room, if you do not know Jesus Christ, you can know Christ and have your sins forgiven like we have. Jesus says it like this. We talk about suffering. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's he mean? Well, you have affliction. The affliction has the idea means pressures or hardships, which are continuous in life. This refers to physical and mental and emotional and spiritual suffering. It comes from being a child of God. God says we're going to be burdened out. We're going to have those things. That's what the idea of the suffering is, this affliction that we're dealing with. But here's what God says. God says he works those things to do something in my spiritual life. I'm having those. They're weighting me down. But in a sense, God says, no, they're light. Why? Because I have a Savior that I can go to because his yoke is easy. And notice what he says. My burden is what? Light. God says, I've got it for you. I've got you covered. I'm helping you to lift it up. I'm there for you. How do I have that? That comes out of daily renewal. Look, without daily renewal, you'll not be able to handle it. You're going to be weighted down. And God says, oh no, look, my burden is light. When you come to me, man, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you that strength. We must realize the brevity of suffering, but second of all, we must recognize the glory of heaven. The glory of heaven is the weight he speaks of. And what's he mean by that? Well, it doesn't mean so much the fact that it's weighty, but it means it's valuable. The weight of heaven, the glory of heaven is valuable. It's more valuable than anything that I have in my life. It's more valuable than my disobedience or than my comfort or whatever the case is. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, God must be mad, so I'll just be mad at God and do what I want to do. And God says, oh no, wait a minute, you miss out. My affliction is light. But my glory is heavy because of what its value is in my life. Heavenly glory has so much to offer us there. In order for us to keep our desires on eternity in the right place, we must, number one, according to these verses, we must acquire, if you would, notice that, acquire that daily renewal. Number two, we must aim at the invisible. But number three, notice the last requirement is we must activate biblical faith. He says in verse 18, he says, activating biblical faith means I focus on the unseen things. The great men and women of the faith focused on the unseen. Hebrews 11 tells us about all the things they focused on. They focused on what was unseen. Many today know little of keeping their focus on unseen things of God, especially during times of suffering and difficulty. Faith is trusting God in the unseen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God says, I need to focus on that. I have to, and by doing that, my faith can begin to increase as I realize who God is. No, they didn't focus, according to verse 18, on this life. They focused on the next life. They focused on Him. They put their faith in Him. That's what it is. So if I'm going to activate biblical faith, my focus must be on the unseen. And second of all, I must live for the eternal. Living for eternity. Every day. I want to live for eternity. When one day this life is going to be past, and what I've done for Christ is that which will last. Jesus taught us these words when He says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through nor steal. I want to ask you a question. What are you aiming for? Where's your aim today? A few years ago, I was out on a golf course playing golf. At least that's what they call it. I was out on a golf course, and it was with two other guys, so it was a threesome. And when you go out and you play, if there's three in it, golf course is real crowded. They typically like to put a fourth person. You don't normally play with more than four in a team. And so that's what they did. They wanted to put a foursome, and they put this guy with us, and this guy was a slightly older gentleman than we were. And so we were there, and he came up to us and introduced himself to us, and he said, now guys, he said, I just want to let you know something. He says, I am legally blind. And I said, and you play golf? Now some people think the way I play golf, it looks like I'm legally blind, okay? But here's what he said. He said, would you do something for me? Will you just kind of aim me in the direction the ball is supposed to go? And I thought, oh, this is going to be fun. There'll be at least one guy I'll beat. He said, it's all I need for you to do is aim me in the right direction. But we weren't that cruel, and so we said, sure, we'll help you out, sir. And so we'd line up on the tee box, and we'd hit our ball, and then he'd just line him up, and we'd put him right, get his alignment right. He'd hit the ball, and straight down the fairway. Oh, no. Didn't go very far, but it went straight. Next time around, we get down the fairway. Next shot, line him up straight. Straight. At the end of the round, I looked at him and I thought, man, now this is an amazing thing. Here we are lining him up. He can't see, and he beat all of us. Because the truth of the matter is, whatever we lined him up to aim at, he hit it. And Christians, I want to tell you this, whatever you line up to aim at, you're going to hit it. What are you aiming at today? If you aim at this world, you'll hit it. If you aim at pleasure, you'll hit it. But if you aim at eternity, you're going to hit fulfillment like you've never had before. That's what it's all about. That's what God says is the most important. Aim high. Let's pray.